Can we call the meeting order? The roll call, excuse me, I called the meeting.
Blythe?
Present.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella?
Here.
Dillon Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert? Palm Springs? Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County?
Here.
Al Caliente?
Here.
We have a forum.
Super. Public comment, I have one from David.
Thank you, Chairman McKinney. David Salgado, Southern California Association of Governments, Regional Affairs Officer. I cover Imperial and Coachella Valleys, I'm based in Imperial County. I just wanted to briefly remind you that the General Assembly registration has been extended for a couple more weeks. All of you are counted on your registrations as city managers, and your elected officials are comped as well, so we're trying to encourage your elected officials to hold yourselves to go ahead and register for the event. It's going to be May 4th at the JW Marriott. And as I mentioned, it's been extended. It's $250 value. There's a room block open now for rooms for $124. And the program agenda has been posted as well. I have some flyers I can leave behind, and I'm available if you have any questions as well. Thank you much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? How about committee member comments? Sir?
John Corella, Cathedral City. Regarding the bicycle and pedestrian safety program grant and its short timeline, we were under the impression that there were going to be some guidelines and a subcommittee to be formed to provide specific guidelines and or forms to be able to prepare the grant applications. As in the staff report, it's pretty general, and it actually seems to be very minimal what we need to submit. Our challenge is, and the request is, we're looking for an extension. Because there are no guidelines, we were under the impression we're waiting. We prepared what the projects would be, but to get the information, we're looking for if there's any appetite to extend that deadline from May 1st to June 1st, one more month, from the other committee members. And if it's all possible, we understand that to get this thing revised formally, it would have to go back to committee after this middle date of May 1st, but in speaking with Tom, there may be some latitude if there's an appetite for that. And I don't know if the other agencies involved or looking to submit something have an appetite for extending that.
John, the money's gone, Rancho Mirage.
Well, we're trying to take all of it. So if there's any discussion regarding that, has anyone heard from their staffs regarding preparation of that? We just have a number of projects that we were looking at.
You don't have enough time left remaining in the month to?
In just talking to Tom right now, our impression was this was going to be somewhat of a formal grant submittal so that CBAG could evaluate those grants. But now we're finding out that it's essentially as it was. It's not too complicated to submit. We just want to get the best information forward. As in our city, our staff's limited. We have grant writers that do these. We've actually asked a couple of our grant writers to do this, and they said we don't have enough time. But they were looking at probably parameters where there was a lot of documents to submit. So if everyone's going down the same path, we'll capitulate, but our request is if other agencies are having the challenge that we look for an extension on the broad scale for everyone to move it back.
Unless you all know whether your staff's having a challenge or not, and speak up today. I did ask Martin and Eric if we've heard back from others saying it's a challenge. We haven't heard that from anybody else. That said, we want great applications from everyone. Perhaps there's some irony here. There are no guidelines, and this should be the easiest grant request that any of the cities ever submit, particularly related to transportation funding. So for the past few months, we've said, you know, put your applications in. Our staff is available to meet with you. It could be a letter with a project location, an estimate of the project's cost, what other funding sources might be applied to it, and how ready the project is. It should be very simple, and if it's not, Eric is available and Martin to come into your city and help you develop the application. The challenge, as John pointed out, with at this stage extending it, if there were problems out there, I'd recommend to our executive committee to do so, because our executive committee doesn't meet until a few days before the grant application is now due. So you wouldn't know until just a few days before. So I prefer the other approach, and that is if we need to send staff into your office and help out, I'd be happy to do that too.
Well, I'll make a closing comment that you've expressed in this forum that it is going to be a very simple process, so we'll live with the date of submittal, and we'll work a little more closely with staff, because we've been very successful in our grants, but the packages as of late, if anyone's doing the Urban Greening Grant, they're getting voluminous, not smaller. So this might be refreshing, and we're just not used to going in this direction.
It might be refreshing, and we'll see what we end up getting. There's only $10 million available. We've certainly heard from some cities that plan on submitting 2 or 3 or 8 or 10 project applications or grant applications. Let's see what we get. And there may be a secondary round of getting more information if we are oversubscribed, and I suspect that we will be. So let's make it simple. We're not going to throw out an application because there's too little information. We can certainly always follow up with you and ask for additional information after the initial request.
Perfect.
Fair?
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
You guys note that Lori from Palm Desert's here?
Thank you. The record should probably reflect that the city manager of Blythe can drive 100 miles in less time than I can walk across the parking lot.
So noted.
Amen.
Thanks, Peter. Randy, did you want to add something?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Aaron Sassy wasn't able to be here today. A couple of quick announcements. We are encouraging you all to come to the city manager meeting with the league at the Riverside Convention Center on Monday, May 8th at 4 o'clock. We have the new league executive director, Carolyn Coleman, who will be visiting with the city managers, 4 o'clock, Riverside Convention Center, Monday, May 8th. And the evening speaker that evening is CDCR Secretary Scott Kiernan. And if you want to have anyone from your police departments come to that, that would probably be beneficial as well. That evening meeting, I think, is a dinner at 6 o'clock.
Super.
How long did you drive, Dave?
Inside joke.
Yeah, you missed it. Executive Director comments?
And we will let the record note that David Ruddy of Palm Springs has arrived as well. A few things. You'll see on the desk, if you don't have it, I'll get you a copy. This is the local streets and roads funding that will be available to each of the cities in Riverside County over the next 10 years, thanks to SB1. I think you saw a little bit of news on the transportation front. It's the first big chunk of additional transportation funding that states approved in over 10 years. There are all sorts of components to this package, including a lot of extra money for Western Riverside County that held off on supporting the bill to the last minute and now get some of the benefits for doing so. So that's for your information. A couple of other items. There was a bill that perhaps a lot of you didn't pay attention to, but in RCTC and CBAG's world, we had to. It's related to NEPA delegation. Caltrans performs like a federal agency on federal transportation projects, are able to sign off on environmental documents, whether that's a CV link, whether the federal agency, or freeway related projects. And they lost that ability because legislation expired at the end of last calendar year. The governor signed AB 28 a week or two ago, giving them that authority again, which is very good news. CV link did receive another $5.6 million of funding from the California Transportation Commission. And CVLink's EIR will be considered for certification at a special CVAG meeting on May 15th. May 15th at 6 p.m. And it's a really long way from here. I'm going to have to plan some extra time to get there because it's Palm Desert's chambers. And thank you, Lori, and the city for providing the space to consider that event. We've also, Katie put out on the desk a tour invitation. Desert Cities Energy Partnership is having a tour of the Carlos Ortega Villas on April 19th. That's a pretty darn energy efficient low-income housing project. So anybody, certainly your staff, want to attend, contact, I think it's Ben on our staff. Right, Katie? That's the extent.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait. Sorry. The new City of Rancho Mirage magazine just came out. This comes out quarterly, and inside is a Q&A with the city manager who just celebrated 30 years with the city, and I'd be happy to sign it. I'd be happy to sign that.
30 years?
So I'll start with Tom.
I'd like to.
Is framing free?
You can't put this on eBay. It's not
okay, now the consent calendar. Anybody want to pull an item? In that case, is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes unanimously. So item 7A, selection of a budget subcommittee for fiscal year 2017-18. Gary's looking for volunteers.
Gary's looking for victims. Well, this is the time of year where you get the opportunity to select two of your members to the budget subcommittee for the upcoming budget. Last year, the members were Mr. McKinney and Frank Kibachek. So with that, we'll take any nominations.
And Frank and I think we should make sure that new blood is involved in this committee. And Randy, how about you?
No. You have me on a 3-year stint with the Emergency Medical Care Commission, my second 3-year stint. This guy,
I'll volunteer.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Okay.
Wow, actual volunteers this time.
Much better than my usual railroad process.
That may be a first.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So now we're a community choice aggregation update and contract for technical services.
I think we should vote on that.
Yeah.
Oh, vote on the committee? Can't just swear it? Okay, all in favor? Do you want to make a motion and everything?
So moves.
Thank you, Peter.
Second.
That was Lori. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Now you're on, Katie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We are moving forward with the Community Choice Aggregation Project, and this is a project that we've been now working on for almost a year. In particular, the last meeting, the Executive Committee established an ad hoc committee made up of all the cities who are involved in this, and this is just the Edison cities, because we get, within the Imperial Irrigation District, the law does not apply to public utilities. So, anyway, we have an ad hoc committee now that's been established, an elected representative, primarily the representatives to the Energy and Environment Committee from each city. That group has had one meeting already and is probably going to be meeting on approximately a monthly basis to work with us on bringing forward recommendations to the E&E and ultimately to you, to the Executive Committee. We've also put out with our partners at Western Riverside Council of Governments and San Bernardino Association of Governments, RFP was released. Those proposals were, the closing date was last Thursday. We received 9 proposals, and this was really our next step to obtain proposals and cost information for the various firms that are providing services for implementation and operational services on community choice aggregation. So we'll be reviewing those, and we do have a meeting scheduled with the ad hoc group where they will take a look at the proposals as well. At this stage, our primary focus is working on coming up with the governance structure, essentially looking at does CBAG want to go it alone, work with WRFOG, work with our larger partners through Riverside and San Bernardino counties, and then what form that would take. We are taking a look at formation of Veteran Powers Authority and other steps that would be necessary. Associated with that, we have been involved in, Tom has reached out over the course of this effort to Imperial Irrigation District. And as you learned at our last meeting, Don Dame, who's a consultant to IID, has been kind of loaned to us for the last several months, and he's been extremely helpful. Don is a retired energy from Northern California and an electricity guy, and a lot of familiarity and knowledge of community choice. So because his, he's been on loan from IID, but we felt that it was appropriate for us to actually bring him on under contract. So before you this afternoon, or this morning, is a contract with Don Dame for $40,000. Tom has actually already signed a $10,000 contract under his signature authority, and this would be for Mr. Dame to assist us with the various steps necessary, drafting some of the documents, looking at our request for proposals, and helping us move forward. There is definitely a learning curve, and he has got all of the knowledge and information and familiarity with how this program works. So that's one part of it. And I just also want to note, I think we're fortunate, we've been partners with Southern California Edison for a long time in our energy partnership. In some other areas, there's a lot of conflict, you might say, between the utility and the local governments that are developing community choice. And this has not been the case with Edison. As evidence of that, we had a meeting recently with the executive team, including the president of Edison, where they essentially reached out and wanted to find out how they could help and cooperate and want to know what we're doing and where we're at. This program, Community Choice, is definitely invading Southern California. Besides the county, who's working on a program, and City of Rancho Mirage, Los Angeles County is setting up a program, and many other areas are taking a look at it as well. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve a contract with Don Dame and authorize the director to sign that contract. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of your report? You got an update on your effort there, Brian?
We're just plugging along. No substantive update.
Okay. No questions? Is there a motion?
I move.
Second, Dan. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimously approved.
Thank you.
The next item is reimbursing the City of Indian Wells, Fred Waring Drive Bridge.
Good morning. Looks like we have a trio of bridges this morning. The first of which is the Fred Waring Drive Bridge over the Whitewater River. This is the lowest rated project in our TPPS with 4 points. And aside from Highway 111 project, it is also the only project that Indian Wells has in the TPPS. However, the city has been successful in obtaining Federal Highway Bridge Program dollars, which would cover approximately 89% of the project costs. And traditionally, when cities have been able to pull in that much leverage of outside resources, they have been funded. At this stage, they are asking for money for preliminary engineering, regional dollars in the amount of $42,012.50, as 75% of the local share of the $442,000 grant that they have received. So we are asking, there's the project you can see next to Cook High School. We are asking that you approve that reimbursement agreement.
Any questions? Thank you. I was contemplating if I had a question.
I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Any questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved. Thank you. So now we're on to the next bridge.
This is the city of Palm Springs, and the first bridge we're considering with that city is the East Palm Canyon Drive Bridge Rehabilitation Project over the Palm Canyon Wash. And again, to see where that project is, we use the locator of the BMW of Palm Springs on East Palm Canyon, and there's the project. This is a bridge rehabilitation project, not a replacement. Previously funded in 2014 for preliminary engineering and environmental approval, the city of Palm Springs was successful in obtaining federal funding, again from the Highway Bridge Program, which covers almost 89% of the project costs. They have completed their preliminary engineering with a small overrun of $35,000, and they're now looking for regional funding to complete their right-of-way construction phases of the project. The new total amount of CBAG regional funding that would be requested is $1,109,611. This is in a $9.5 million project, so again, well-leveraged money. And we are recommending approval of that amendment to this contract to provide that regional funding.
Any questions?
So moved.
Thank you, David.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Another unanimous pass. We have a roll.
The third bridge is another bridge in the city of Palm Springs. This time, the South Palm Canyon Rift Drive Bridge Replacement Project over the Tocantins Creek. Again, previously funded in 2014 for preliminary engineering and environmental approval, the city was again successful in obtaining Federal Highway Bridge Program funding, which again covers 89% of the project costs. There was a small overrun in the preliminary engineering of $32,000, which is now completed, and the city is looking for additional regional funding to cover right-of-way and construction phases for that project. And the new total that they are requesting is $788,850 as the new total for the project. And staff recommends approval.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, and I'm not opposed to this, but the right-of-way, I'm seeing this, we've had bridges and the right-of-way is becoming an increasing challenge. What are the specific challenges? Is it actually the cost of the new right-of-way or the temporary construction easements? What is the specifics on that? Do you know?
I'm not.
Or in general?
I'm not familiar with the specific challenges in the right-of-way in this project.
Hey, John.
Yes.
We've had trouble with that lately because Caltrans has, I think, changed some of the rules where a construction easement is only good for 6 months, and it used to be from the start of construction, and I think now it's from the point that the contract has been issued, or...
Yes, I concur with that, yeah, and I was wondering if that's rolling through, aside from, a lot of challenges on, and then private ownership as well, too.
Yes. Cost us an extra $16,000 on Monterey to extend a construction easement because we were still working on the environmental from Caltrans.
Yeah, we have the same challenges on both our bridge projects as well, too. So,
do you know why Caltrans changed that policy?
I don't know why, but I know that there's a lot of new people that work there, and they walk around holding their manuals and regulatory books in their hands, and I think they're just following exactly what the rules are.
They're just relaying, or at least re-emphasizing the FHWA guidelines that are handed down to be able to get reimbursed for this funding as well, too. So.
Any other questions?
Eric, on this matter, let's agendize this as a topic for the Public Works Directors at the next T-Task meeting.
Okay.
And obviously, this is not a one-off event. Perhaps there's something we can do with Caltrans, at least this district.
You know, other projects have had significant issues with the railroad, in obtaining right-of-way, in obtaining easements, not right-of-way, but easements. There's a lot of time-consuming pieces, so we will do that.
Good, thank you. So is there a motion?
Move to approve.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you, David. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approves. No legislative report from there? Any questions on the information or any status updates? Everybody's good? We're adjourned. Our next meeting is Monday, May 8th at 11 in the morning. And then you have to drive to Riverside for the 4 o'clock meeting with Randy.
4 o'clock, so the director will be there.